Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Another great show this week. Another big star is going to be joining us here. He just wrote a book called Living on Air about his great career in voiceover. Our great friend Joe Cipriano will be with us this Monday night.
I'll be talking about EQ this week and how to use it in your software, and I'll have demonstrations so you can actually hear as I adjust the EQ so you can get an idea how EQ actually works.
And we've talked about this before. We're going to have a little discussion about using a Mac. Why any of you guys use a PC for voiceover is beyond me, and George for that matter. That's 9 o'clock in the East.
And 6 o'clock in the West.
And join us in the chat room where all your friends are. We'll see you Monday night on
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop.
Dan always tries to trip me up.
I'm trying at it. Well, hello, everyone. How you doing tonight? We've got a great show, as we do every week here. We've done a lot of them in a row, haven't we? It's been
a pretty good run.
We actually have. Now, and you're probably wondering now why this is now prominently displayed here. I had a little talk with my friend Harlan. I lost the first one he sent me. So he says, I'll send you another one, but you better put a flag on it just to let people know what exactly this microphone is.
Right.
So you'll now know. Anyway, we got a great guest tonight, and he's going to join us right now because he's got a session he's got to do at 6:15. And let's welcome our great friend, a great friend of East West Audio Body Shop, Joe Cipriano. Welcome back.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, boys. How are you?
Nice to have you. I know we don't have a whole lot of time with you tonight, but we'll try and get in as much as we can.
I might be on both sides. I do, unfortunately, 9:15 in the East and 6:15 in the West. I have a session that I have to do, but it should only last about 15 minutes.
Okay. Well,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see if they call in the middle of this.
Exactly.
So we've talked about a lot of things before on the show, but right now you're on your world domination tour talk about this book you wrote. It's called Living on Air. And what on earth inspired you to spend a couple of years of your life to write a book?
Well, you know, it's funny. I think what really started it is I have been asked so many times by our VO pals, how did you get into it? How did you transition from radio into voiceovers? That's always a very difficult transition. Mm-hmm. How did you get into broadcasting in the first place? And I've told these stories over and over again. And then I realized I had so many other stories from my broadcast career and all of the crazy characters that I met. And I just thought it would be fun to, you know, pull it all together and write a book that is not a how-to book, because there are plenty of how-to get into voiceover books, and they're very, very good.
Yeah, quite a few.
So I wanted to write something that would be fun and funny and interesting and, most importantly, inspiring. I wanted to, share with people how I go about obtaining my goals, you know, setting goals, going after your dreams. And it was fun to do with my lovely wife, Anne. We got to work on it together.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. Now, there's no question, if you're in this business, or especially if you're in radio, that stories just abound. Because we're working with a lot of very creative people. And how did you pick the best stories to put in there?
Well, it was fun to go back and recreate the era. I started in radio when I was 14 years old, and it was 1969. And I called my local disc jockey, you know. And that's how I started my career. To go back and write that story, it was so fun to recreate the era of 1969 and the music and just the feel of that time. Completely, I'll tell you, 1969 to 1975 is a world of difference. So it was fun to do that. And telling stories about radio, for example, you know, I was working in Waterbury, Connecticut, and I'll tell you a quick story. I was using the name Tom Collins, and I was working at an AM Top 40 station, the number one station in Waterbury, Connecticut, 1,000-watt AM, 250 at night. Can you imagine? I have light bulbs here that have more power than that. Yeah. But at the same time, I was working at another station in Connecticut, and the signals crossed, so I had to have a different name. So I was Dave Donovan at that station. I sent in a tape to Washington, D.C. for a job. I sent in my Tom Collins tape. I got a call a week later, and they said, Tom, Gordon Peele here at NBC in Washington, we like your tape, and we're wondering if you have something else you can send us that shows a little bit more personality in a format like that. I said, yeah, I work at another station here in Connecticut. I'll send that to you. I sent them the tape from WDRC. 2 weeks later, I get a call. Tom, Gordon Peele here at NBC in Washington. just want to let you know that we've narrowed down the job search to three people, and you're one of them. So, okay. I get a call 15 minutes later from DRC. Dave, this Gordon guy called. I go, oh, wow. Maybe they want me to come down now. So I called him, and I said, Gordon, you left a message for me at WDRC. Yes, Dave, Donovan, DRC. Listen, Dave, I want to let you know we've narrowed it down to three people, and you're one of them. Yeah, I know. You just talked to me. I'm Tom Collins in Waterbury. You're Tom as well? Yeah. Well, it seems that you're two of the three people that we've narrowed.
This is a good tactic. Everybody keeping notes, because this might work out for you. Get two names. Audition is two different people.
Exactly.
Narrow it down. Exactly.
That's so funny. You know, later on in my voiceover career, and when I got to be known as kind of a comedy voice, you know, working for Fox and CBS, yeah. When I would go after a job that was completely different than that, a drama sort of a read, yeah. I would take my name off of the audition. There was no way to know who this was, because if they see a file come in and it says Joe Cipriano on it, they go, oh, yeah, he's not right for this. We don't need to listen to him. So it was I kept my name off, you know, of those kind of auditions.
Because you felt like you were a little typecasted, maybe?
I think I was, I had that typecasting thing was going on, exactly.
Yeah.
But that's okay. It's a good thing. That means people remember you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So now you've got this, have you done an audio version of the book?
I have. I finished the recording of the audio version directed by Maurice Tobias.
Ooh,
and
good
we
choice.
Really yeah. had a great time working
I'll
on
bet.
That. And Greg Chun, who is a composer, and I think, George, you know Greg.
Yeah, good guy. He knew Don LaFontaine very well, too.
Yes, exactly. He's composing original music for it. A.J. McKay, who is a voiceover artist and also a wonderful audio designer, is doing all the audio design on it. And we're a real hybrid. It's almost more of a radio show than an audio book.
Oh, that sounds great.
A lot
That's
of original music. A lot of sound effects, lot of fun stuff in it. So I'm very excited. That will come out beginning of December.
Oh, just in time for Christmas.
Just in time for Christmas gift giving.
That's right.
How are you going to distribute the audio version?
That's going to go. It's going to go through ACX, Audible,
mm-hmm.
And then it'll be available on iTunes, Amazon, right. and you know all those
where finer downloads are sold.
Right, exactly,
exactly,
exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's probably. I'm sure that the audio version is probably going to be the ultimate, because it's you telling these stories. You really want to hear you telling these stories, because that's what makes them fun.
It really is fun. I'm kind of torn. You know, I love the printed book. Obviously, we love reading. Now, the ebook, which, you know, that you can get on Kindle and iPads and Nook and all of that,
yeah.
That has, gosh, I think it has about 50 media links in the book where you actually, when I'm talking about something, I have an air check from when I was 14 years old, you know, all the different stations
cool.
I worked at, everything that I talk about in the book that is time sensitive, it has a link and you can actually see it or hear it, the original.
Oh. Right. Well, that's great. Great. It's so great fun. To have multimedia these days.
It is. It's so fun. It was fun to look all that up and to I was surprised at what was out there.
Yeah. So you've been doing the circuit, talking to all sorts. What's it been like talking to large crowds of people wanting to buy this book?
Well, it's fun. You know, I always enjoy going to seminars and voiceover conventions and sharing anything that I have that somebody might be interested in. And so it's actually it's kind of like another layer of that. And I find that it's not only voiceover people, but people from broadcasting and just folks, you know, regular folks. So, you know, we had with Ann Ganguza, we did a launch party a couple of Saturday nights ago in a live webcast, and George was there.
Go Peeps.
Running Go Peeps.
Go Peeps.
And that was fun. And it was fun to have Ann with me, and she was interviewed. And some of the people that I work with, like Susan Moore, who's a vice president of Fox, she was there. Talked a lot about the early Fox years, which was fun. Jill Seltzer from the SAG Foundation was there. Scott Rummel was there. Stu Herrera, my buddy Greg Sims. I mean, yeah, that was really, it was almost like Joe Cipriano.
This is your life.
Oh, that totally. Was, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And this Saturday, we have a book launch party here in Brentwood, California, in Los Angeles. At the Brentwood Country Mart this Saturday at 3 p.m.
Make your flight arrangements now. Hotels are booking up quickly.
What's that?
I said, make your flight arrangements now. Hotels are booking up quickly.
Exactly. Get on my Southwest app here and do that. Anyway.
There's a couple questions in the chat room.
Yeah.
Actually, Graham said, Dan, ask Joe about when he lived in Ontario. Practically Buffalo.
No, you did.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
I did. I, you know, it didn't make it in the book. It's funny when the book goes to the editor. I had some really fun stories about growing up in Canada. My dad was transferred to Canada when I was in kindergarten, and I lived in outside of Toronto in a little town called St. Mary's from like kindergarten to third grade. So I was telling Graham not too long ago, I grew up, you know, shooting the puck up against the garage door and flooding the backyard, you know, for the ice rink and all of that. And my brother's 10 years older than me. When the weather was really bad, we would play hockey in the basement. And it was just a, you know, cement basement. And we would use a hard rubber ball. I was like 8, 7, something like that. His friends were 17. So they had a lot more going for them than me. So what I would do is when somebody had the puck, I would use my hockey stick and I'd whap them right in the ankles and then steal the puck from them. So I earned the nickname Killer when I was 7 years old.
God, I made an entire career as a goalie doing that.
Actually, here's a nice question. An announcer, Doug, says, did Anne do any of the narration on the audiobook?
She, you know what? She did not. What I did do is go back in the book when people speak.
Yeah.
Anne never really speaks in the book.
Right. Right.
But there's a story in there when I was leaving a radio station in Washington, D.C. I actually went back and got the program director to do the scene with me. And I have a few program directors in the past that that are on the audio book.
So you recreated some scenes and stuff.
Did.
And if somebody
has
a voice in the book, like,
yes.
You know, you tried to find them to be
exactly.
On it.
Oh, and I found that folks were really excited
cool.
and happy to do it. And there's a story when I was 14 years old, when I go to the radio station for the first time and I call her the mini skirted tour guide, who was this, you know, it was 1969. Mini skirts were like,
oh, yeah.
And so the young girl.
They're heading back that way, by the way. I don't know if you've been noticing. Anyway,
she has a lot of dialogue in that story. And so my daughter, Dana, played the part of the mini-skirted tour guide in the audiobook. So that was fun.
This was meant to be an audiobook. There's no question about it. And it sounds like you had more fun doing that. But what's it like writing a book like this? I mean, you have to sit down and type it out, or do you have to just narrate or dictate it out? Or
no,
what?
You know, we started when Ann and I first started, and we worked on it for about 3.5 years. I started with kind of dictating, but I didn't like that. I would rather write and then go back and change, you know, work on it. I like to really work it. And so the way we did it is I would do what I would call a data dump. So I would write out an entire chapter, go back, work on it. I would spend maybe a few weeks on it. And then I would slide it over to Anne, you know, and she would start working on it. And reworking, you know, the kind of like the order of the story and all of that. And she's a great writer. Then she would slide it back to me after a week or two. And then I would start adding color and trying to make it more come to life. So we really worked on it together, never in the same room. There were just a few times, but mostly she likes to be in the quiet when she's writing. Yeah. I like to, like, it, whatever era it is, I like to play the music of that era to kind of get me back into it.
The mamas and the papas and
yes.
all that stuff.
Yeah,
69. I can remember some of the stuff from 69.
Yeah. Sly and the Family Stone, Everyday People, In the Year 2525 by Zager and Evans.
So, Joe, you're going to tell us when you get – are you going to get a phone call or a text, or are you just listening for your Zephyr to go –
I'm listening for the Zephyr. Did you hear – you have great ears, George.
I haven't heard it yet.
I haven't heard it either.
Okay,
so
if you hear it bleep, then you know.
Yeah. You know what? Would you mind – can I pick you up and move you into the studio with me?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Go for
okay.
it.
Okay. All
That'd
right.
be fun.
Now, you're going to
take your
probably,
Dramamine.
You're probably going to lose my audio for a second.
No
let
problem.
Me just let me try this. Let me change the microphone to
We will talk amongst ourselves.
Yes.
While you
are you still hearing me?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
Okay. So, if I pull this out and this out, am I still with you?
Yep, the batteries are working.
Yes.
Ow.
Just don't drop it.
Here we are in the clubhouse.
Yeah, baby.
See, I'm this and this. I hope I don't want to make you dizzy.
Getting a little seasick, but not too bad.
I made you full screen there.
The George Whittam designed Joe Cipriano studio. Oh, guess what? They are hooked up.
Oh. Whoops.
So, I'm going to turn off the audio here.
Yeah, click the little mute button on the mic.
There. Okay. And they've been hooked up for 2 minutes.
Uh-oh. Whoops.
We're not here.
You're still there, Joe. I'm going to...
Yes. There. Sorry about that. I said I was only going to nap for a moment, and then boom, suddenly...
All right, so he muted us, but he didn't mute himself.
On time.
So
let's listen in for a minute.
Yeah, we'll listen in for just a minute.
let me just close up my doors. I'll be right back.
He doesn't know we can hear him.
Yeah, and that's okay.
But you know how Skype is. I can't turn him down independently from you, so
right.
We'll just have to hang up on him at some point.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll call him back a little bit later in the show.
I'll send him an instant message.
Okay.
We still hear you.
We do. We'll do the 30 here.
Okay. Mute your mic in Skype.
And then read Super T's line.
He's pretty he's tuned into his job.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll just do one. We'll
Queen
do one.
Latifah is a People's Choice nominee, and next queen, Will Arnett.
We hear you.
I get to utter the phrase, I am Batman.
I got a bit of voicemail there.
I am Batman. She's not here right now. Please.
Plus, a duet with Jewel. And secrets from Queen's makeup artist.
So tell us what you've been doing to me.
I look high. All right, that's what it sounds like, ladies and gentlemen. Alrighty. Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. He did either was Ford trucks or something like that. I got called for an audition once to if you could impersonate him because they had to tag for every market, you know, Ford is Sacramento. And he didn't want to do I ain't doing those tags. So it would be quite a gig if somebody were to get it. I didn't get it. Because apparently I don't sound like Will Arnett. Excuse me.
I'm going to go home and work on my Will Arnett.
Right, exactly.
See, this is why people like working with Joe. He's got a good banter.
Got
he's
it.
Fun.
Right. Hope that guy.
You know, he's light. Some voice actors right. are really moody and dark.
Yeah.
Joe is just bright and cheery and happy.
Queen Latifah is a People's Choice nominee. And next queen, Will Arnett.
Batman. I get to utter the phrase, I am Batman.
I got a bit of voicemail there.
I am Batman.
She's not here right. Plus, a duet with Jewel. And secrets from Queen's makeup artist.
So that's what you've been
People
doing
love
to
it.
Me.
People are loving it, man. Let's keep it
are.
Going.
First, I need to top
this session could go for 10 minutes. It could go for a half hour. We don't really know.
All right.
We'll break away at some point.
As a People's Choice nominee, just a little more energy.
Yeah.
Saying this about 90,000 times.
Right.
So we know the audience is going to get bored with it, so we may need to just give a little more.
Gotcha. Yeah, for sure. Okay. Lovely. Queen Latifah is a People's Choice nominee, and next queen, Will Arnett.
I get to utter the phrase, I am that man.
I'm not a good voice now, that.
Plus, a duet with Jewel. And secrets from Queen's makeup artist.
So that's what you...
See, Joe is unmuting and muting the sound to his speakers so you guys can hear what's going on his end. Normally, he would just be in headphones the whole time. He wouldn't have his speakers on. So he's clearly doing this for your guys' benefit just to hear how it works on his end. It's pretty fun.
Cool.
This wasn't planned. He was like, what do you think if we should do this? I was like, oh, well, why not?
Well, let's get it. Happens, it happens.
Yeah.
Nominee and next queen, Will Arnett.
And we knew he had a session.
I get to utter the phrase, I am that man.
I got a good voice for all that.
Plus, a duet with Jewel. And secrets from Queen's makeup artist.
So that's what you've been doing to me.
Man.
Network television.
Oh, yeah.
The top will have to feel a little bit longer. We don't have really time for me to trim this, but I can trim it. So you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of hand expressions. I've noticed a lot of the people do promo, there's a lot of hand gestures.
And that's just a general placement.
Because of the level of energy.
Dave Smith's asking, looks like his studio and sound booth is huge. How big is it?
Right now?
It's, oops, sorry. I'd say it's about 8x8, 8x10. It's a nice size room. It's a booth, but it's a large booth. Yeah, he's going through an M5, an Avalon M5.
Wait, do you think the top's got to go quicker? Yeah.
And he does have a vintage Yuri LA3A, I think it is, or an LA2A compressor limiter that he will use on certain types of reeds. Probably not this stuff, though.
So, John, am I going to hear me duet with Jewel? Probably not, huh? Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's
the problem. I'm really proud of his studio because it's really the first one I really did get to design from kind of the ground up.
Okay. I might even read that line.
He took a big chance in me doing that because I hadn't done anything at this level.
And it'll be before your last two lines. So if you want to pitch in that last duet.
Yeah, I'll do that. Sure. And then the whole idea for this is.
Oh, LA4A.
Okay.
Yeah.
Plus, a duet with Jewel and secrets from Queen's makeup artist.
So that's what you've been doing.
And the laptop's like right on top of the speaker or right next to the speaker. So it's definitely loud. Yeah. I mean, what's amazing. We did a full blown floating ceiling in here, which literally
so
hangs
that's
on
what
springs.
You've been doing to me.
And man, he's done stuff where there's a jackhammer running outside and you don't hear it inside. It came out really well. Should we stay for another minute?
Yeah, for another minute or two. Then we got a break because we got spots to run and things to do. But
well, we can keep it. We can keep them connected, and
right.
We'll just see what happens.
And throw them up in the corner here. And,
exactly.
We'll check in on them from time to time.
Choice nominee and today on Queen, Will Arnett.
Play Batman.
I get to utter the phrase.
Sure. Yep. Good idea. Lovely. Queen Latifah is a People's Choice nominee. Today on Queen, Will Arnett.
Play Batman.
I get to utter the phrase.
Let's do just one more, just a little more energy when we go to the Today on Queen.
Gotcha.
I can hear the beeps in his headphones.
People's Choice nominee today on Queen, Will Arnett.
Play Batman.
I get to utter the phrase.
I actually could hear the three beeps in his headphones. You know that's what's on his license plate?
What?
Three beeps.
Beeps.
Seriously.
What kind of an interface is he using?
Oh, this is what's interesting about his studio. He's got a digital mixing console made by a company called Logitech, which has nothing to do with the Logitech that you know of. It's spelled L-O-G-I. It's Logitech with a K at the end instead of a C-H. The board, it's a digital console, so all the audio comes in and gets converted to digital. And there's a rack in another room with the equipment actually located.
Yeah.
So the board inside the booth is strictly...
Maybe we try.
The board is just a control surface in his booth. It's not actually where the audio goes. It's an expensive setup.
Alrighty. Queen Latifah is a People's Choice nominee, and next queen, Will Arnett.
He can play Batman.
His setup way predates my involvement. He brought that along from his past two studios.
Don's worried. Give just a little more to Will Arnett.
Okay.
Like he needs it anymore.
Yeah.
Not much.
He's an odd dude, that Will Arnett.
Much. Put it all in Will Arnett.
Okay.
Did you ever see the thing with him and Jason Bateman about manscaping?
Next queen, Will Arnett. Yeah.
About growing beards.
I get to utter the phrase, I am Batman.
It's pretty funny. There's a doc on Netflix. Look it up. It's him and Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman.
With Jewel.
Very funny.
Can you taste the first one?
Uh-huh. With a little luck.
With a little luck.
This is a glimpse into a world many of us don't get to see much.
Yeah, I mean, this is like Joe's version of Don LaFontaine's limo, where you get to ride with Don and watch him work. This is Joe's...
Batman.
I get to utter the phrase.
Yeah, and just because that first line is such a cut-in. Cool. Before Thanksgiving.
La da ta ta ta. Yes, that's true. It can be considered holiday, but it's Let It Snow.
Yeah, is that a spit guard on there, or just your general pop screen, George?
I'm looking it up right now. I think it's called a Populous VAC 3.5, to be specific.
Yeah, because he uses that in slightly differently than I think a lot of people
Jewel.
Are known to.
He speaks pretty well right into the mic, almost right into
it. Yeah, I mean, most of us do it at about a 45-degree angle at about nose height.
He's pretty close.
He's doing it announcer style.
Yeah, pretty close to right on. So it's a little off to the side.
Will Arnett.
I gotta get a voicemail of that.
Plus Jewel.
Yeah, that's a Populous VAC 3.5-inch pop screen. Which has two discs. If you look really carefully, you can see there's two discs. It's for the extra poppy, for a little extra protection.
You get to play Batman.
Oh, the second director.
Yeah, sometimes it's almost by committee, man.
Yeah.
You get to play Batman. You get to play Batman.
I am.
And they literally cut it together, edit it, and everything while you wait. You have to sit there and listen to them work it out.
Will Arnett, next Queen Latifah.
Yeah. Vio line.
Okay.
Will and Queen sing a duet.
Gotcha.
So the mic is slightly to the right, and his display is directly in front of him. So the mic is just over to the side, kind of the way mine is to the right a little bit. That's what he's
Plus,
doing.
Plus, Jewel and Queen sing a duet. Plus, Jewel and Queen sing a duet. Plus, Jewel and Queen sing a duet.
Everybody.
Yeah, he still likes using a handheld stopwatch. I have clients that have digital timers on the wall, you know, and everything, but you know what? Whatever works.
Yep.
Good. Yay. All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, there we go.
All righty. We'll chat tomorrow.
It's me, Dad. Okay. It's me typing like
Sounds
crazy.
Good. It's a date. All right. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Give him the thumbs up.
Everybody.
Really? Were you watching?
We watched the whole thing.
You did? You're kidding.
No. Man, people are loving
the
it.
The audience was like, this is awesome.
Oh, there's the board.
There's mine. Now, we were just talking about the board that you were talking about, George. This is a real radio board.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I love it because you can assign all these, you know, the faders. You can, from all the outboard gear, you can assign to a different fader.
Yep. Yeah. So people were asking me about what's the AD converter. I said, well, it's a full blown digital on air console. And the console at your desk is really just a remote. The actual brains of the outfit is all in the other room.
Yeah. And they call it, what do they call it? An audio engine.
Audio engine, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's made by Logitech.
Yeah, Logitech with a K.
Logitech doesn't even make this version anymore, I don't think.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, Logitech with a K on the end, not CH. Don't get those two very, very different companies for sure. Well, that was a blast, man. People were loving that.
These doors, George, do you remember?
Where do we get the doors?
Yeah, they're heavy.
Yeah, I don't remember right now. Yeah. It's been a couple years.
But you can see how thick the walls are here. I love
Holy crap.
Yeah, that's a pretty good shot, the wall.
Yeah.
And there's a seam in the center, but that seam doesn't really attach to both walls. It only attaches to one of the two walls, so that they're really decoupled completely.
It really is. It was, and up here when you know the ceiling up here,
right?
The ceiling doesn't touch the wall. There's actually caulking there.
Yeah.
And the ceiling is on springs, right?
Yeah, it is. If you push hard enough, it'll give
a
little bit.
You can see it moves up. Yeah.
Yeah. That was quite a project. I was really honored that you trusted me to take on that project, Joe. It was a big job. And
you're George Whittam. What are you talking about?
Thank you. I mean, it was the first job of that scale, and it was a real honor to take it on. And I love to see it being used, you know, just trouble free, that it just works day after day. And, you know, that's awesome.
You know what, George? Ann and I were just talking about you and saying, I think the words were, God bless George Whittam. Because you haven't been here lately, but we, our next door neighbor right here is under construction, big construction at Jackhammers, you know, the whole thing. And it's been going on now for 3 months, and there's at least another 4 months to it. And thank God when I go in there and I close those two doors, it's silent. You know,
thank goodness, man. Yeah. That's the test.
I don't know how I would have done it.
That's the test. Well, I mean, that's the problem with LA. I mean, you can, you know, you live in these neighborhoods and, you know, just the neighbor immediately next to you, it's like, yeah, we're going to demo and build a new house or whatever. It's just, you know, if you live out in the country more, that just doesn't happen that often, you know, and just that happens here all the time.
Hey, I want to give away a book to your
Do
viewers.
It. Yes, we do.
Do it. Then we'll let you. Yeah, we'll let you go after that. Let's do this.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I'll hang.
Yeah, you can hang as long as you want. You're done with your show now.
I know I want to show you something here in the book. What page did I say it was? Ah, page 167. It's the building of the Don LaFontaine Voiceover Lab. There's the we're done. Paul Pape, George, and me.
Yeah.
And this was during the construction. George was just
showing me how tall, how high he could reach.
I was just showing how much taller I am than Joe.
Actually, do you remember the concern was, I think there was duct work or something like that. There was a concern that we were going to get the ceiling in there.
Yeah. We didn't have a lot of ceiling height to play with because it's the mezzanine level of the building.
Right.
So
another wonderful job by George Whittam.
Thank you, Joe.
All right. So we're going to ask the folks are going to type in the answer to a question.
Yes, they are. And we'll give them time to respond because we know there's a good 10, 12 second, maybe 15 second
delay. Well, we were talking. I could ask something about radio, but it would be good to ask something about voiceover.
Voiceover and something tech related too.
Yeah. So Sennheiser 416s, we use them for network promo everywhere. I was just on a 416, even though I had the U87 hanging there. By the way, the reason the U87 is pulled out like that, I did the entire audiobook on the U87.
Oh, nice.
Excuse me. I started on the 416.
No, U87 is a better choice.
It didn't sound good. I mean, it's great for promo, but it just didn't sound right for narration.
Mm-hmm.
So Sennheiser 416, very popular, almost every TV network. So many studios have it. But there was one talent, a voiceover artist, who said, I want to use that mic. And they were like, what? You're crazy. No. I'm using that mic. And there was a reason why they had to use that mic, which I can explain later. Who was that voiceover artist? It was quite a while ago, who used a 416 exclusively. And because of that, it started to be used for promos everywhere.
Yep. Now, ready? I can't wait to see who types it in first.
You have.
What is his name?
Oh, there it is.
Doug.
Doug. Man, he was quick on the answer.
He knew it before he finished.
You guys can tell everybody the answer.
Ernie Anderson. Yeah.
Ernie Anderson.
And the reason, tell him the reason why, yeah.
He was, Ernie refused to go into the booth. He wanted to have control of everything. You know, when you're in the booth, everything's all closed up. You can't hear what's happening out there in the studio.
Very isolated.
He didn't want people talking and he wouldn't, talking behind his back. And he wouldn't know what was going on. So he insisted on sitting with the mixer. He would sit just to the left or the right of the mixer, and also the producer of the spot would be in there.
Yeah.
And he also would not wear headphones. So they actually had to run the promo was running through the audio is coming through the speakers. So I guess the 416 is so directional, that helped with all of that bleed, of audio.
Yeah.
Coming in there
between the bleed and just the sheer noise level in a control room in the 60s or 70s,
Exactly. And this was all analog and, 24 track machines and clacking and clicking and, all that stuff. So that was weird. I remember hearing once WABC in New York, the disc jockeys also didn't like wearing headphones. And so the radio station, when they were talking over music, it would be coming through the speakers, but they did something with a phase reversal or something with the microphone so that you wouldn't hear the music and you wouldn't get feedback. Is that possible?
That is possible. It's not perfect, but they might have done something like that. I wouldn't be surprised.
That's what I heard.
Wow. Cool. That was a good bit of trivia.
Yeah. So who won? Who won the book?
Doug Turkel.
Doug, you already have a book? Because if you already have a book,
pass it on.
I'll send you my telephone.
Well, then he could re-gift it. So he may,
he could re-gift.
Email you, and if he wants you to write it to somebody else, he could always
I'll
do that.
His address and who he would like me to personalize it to.
Okay, his address is 1138.
No.
I have it memorized.
That, everybody.
Joe, it's been great having you on. Man, if you want to hang out with us for a little while later, as we're talking about some other stuff, you can join in. But we got to take a break. But everybody,
Joe
Cipriano showing us a little bit of what about his life is like.
That was fun. Thanks a lot, right. Joe. We had a good
Thank
time.
You. Thanks, guys. See you, Dan.
Right. Bye. See you later.
Right. We'll be right back here on East West Audio Body Shop. So don't go away.
Joe Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his helmet.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
Now back to EWABS with Dan and George.
No, it's George and Dan.
No, it's not. It's Dan and George.
George and Dan.
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 George and Dan.
Dan and George.
George and Dan.
Dan and George.
George and Dan. Dan and George.
Dan, move to your right. Move right. Closer to your microphone.
How's that?
Let's get the Harlan plug in right now. Since I have a tight prop on
you.
We
have a tight shot on this.
Exactly.
The Harlan Hogan VO1A. Buy it. Great microphone. Great price point. It's designed. It's the only microphone that's really built for voiceover. Every time you walk into Banjo Emporium or one of those places in New York City, the big places, you walk in and you say, I want a voiceover microphone. They're going to sell you the most expensive thing on the block.
Yeah.
Because they have no idea what a good voiceover microphone is. But Harlan, our dear patron, Harlan Hogan at VoiceOver Essentials, has just the microphone. By the way, my level's okay on this now?
Yeah, when you get exuberant, it gets a little dirty.
Oh, okay.
It's a little edgy when you get loud.
Okay. Well, so if I want to get loud, I just move back a little bit and
exactly.
you can hear the proximity effect on there.
Exactly. But
it's really designed for voiceover. It's got just the right frequency response. And George and I actually saw how these are, proofed over the summer. We were over at the factory and
We were at MXL. We got a video. We still have to get up on the web for you guys, but we saw where they're shipped out and all over North America. And we also saw their, what I thought was interesting on the way out. Remember they showed us the repair lab?
Yep.
There was this one little room, 10 by 15, 12 feet maybe. It was not big, with one little workbench. And the guy wasn't even in there working. I mean, that's right. The mics are very reliable.
Yeah.
They don't need a lot of maintenance and repair, and they're built to last. So, Harlan picked a smart company to work with MXL, and the results, speak for themselves. Great mic.
So if you're just starting out or you want to have another nice mic for your locker, the VO1A, which is the voiceover microphone. Just got to make sure I get that plug in there.
Man, that's not shameless at all.
Not at all. But he's been with us since the beginning. Go over to voiceoveressentials.com. Get yourself a VO1A.
Indeed.
That's the end of that story.
That's the end of that story. So what should we do next? Do you want me to run my video and take a breather, or do you want to go right into our Mac?
We want to make sure people stick around for our little talk about Mac versus PC. But
yeah.
Let's run Widom's World because you're going to talk about EQ, and I think that's something everybody needs to know.
All right. Here we go. Widom's World. Here it comes.
In a world.
George, can you help me set up my recording studio?
Abso-freaking-lutely.
Where voiceover talent are stuck in their closets.
Is there a way to improve the quality of my audio files?
Oh, yeah.
And they need to deliver finished audio tracks.
You are my hero.
Oh, thank you. That's sweet. Yeah.
There is one man who takes it all on.
Real time. Excellent. Widom's World.
Widom's World. Rated VO.
Hey, everybody, this is George Widom reporting for Widom's World. Thanks for all the well wishes out there. I'm feeling a lot better now. Whew, that was a nasty couple of weeks. I got two questions in the last day about EQ, so I figured that's pretty synchronistic. Obviously, it's a topic you guys want to know about. So questions came in from David Plant and from Ann Swist about EQ. David was talking about specific settings that he would want to use in his chain in Audacity. Audacity has an effects chain function that allows you to add multiple different effects into one preset, much like we can do with Twisted Wave. Nice feature. Is it always a good idea to roll off below 80 dB, which he probably means 80 hertz frequency, and maybe a slight boost around 400 and 1500 dB, where he actually means hertz? Remember, dB is volume, and hertz is frequency, you know, across from treble or bass to treble. Should I boost these frequencies for the average male voice? Anne asked about the fact that she has a DBS processor. I think she probably means a DBX 286S, which is a really common model. And I would really like to know about EQ. I'm sure it would make my sound better, but I don't know how to set it or what it really does. Can you help me? Well, I'm recording my voice right now in Twisted Wave, so I'll show you one or two little EQ tricks that I've used in the past to kind of tweak sound. But I will tell you that you cannot tweak EQ without using your ears. And so there are no just presets like, yeah, those settings generally work for everybody. That's not really how it works with EQ. EQ is something that has to be adjusted by ear. So I'll show you a couple settings here in Twisted Wave. So here's the recording I just made. Well, I'm recording my voice right now in Twisted Wave. Okay, so let me go ahead and bring up an equalizer so you guys can see two types of EQs that I use regularly. One of them is called a graphic EQ. Graphic equalizers have multiple bands. Usually a good professional one will have 31 bands, also known as one-third octave, because there's one-third of an octave on the musical scale between each frequency. So that's one EQ setting that can be adjusted. And there's also another EQ tool built in called a parametric EQ. Now, it may look different in your software, but the ability of a parametric EQ to allow you to set the not just the frequency, but also the amount you're adding or boosting, and how precise the adjustment is. So you can adjust the width. It's also called the Q. So if you look at this EQ, it has a very, this is a very narrow, what I would call a notch. So if, for example, if your room that you're recording in has a bad honk sound or resonance sound that kind of colors the audio a lot, say at 122 hertz, then you can set the Q to a really narrow setting, which would be 20 in this case, just by double-clicking and typing over it. And you can make a very precise control over that frequency. So it's not going to be drastic because my room's EQ is already pretty good. It's actually doesn't have any particular resonant frequencies. But if yours does, this is a way you can go in there and make a really precise adjustment to take out something that doesn't sound good, also known as a notch. When it comes to sort of adding tonal coloration to the sound or adding some sizzle, top end, bottom end, things like that, like David was asking about, again, you have to use your ear, but a graphic EQ is a nice way to maybe add a little bit of a punch. Maybe I want to make this microphone sound a little bit more present and bright. So let's play back some of this clip and play with the EQ a little bit more. Frequency. And maybe a slight boost around 400 and 1500 dB,
where he actually means hertz. Remember, dB is volume, and hertz is frequency, you know, across from treble or bass to treble.
Maybe I want to give it a little bit more richness at the bottom and give it a little more full sound, so maybe I'll add it a little bit at the bottom.
That's what
dB is about, volume, not frequency. Should I boost these frequencies for the average male voice? I'm a baritone. Should I normalize before or after equalization? Okay, a couple of questions in there. So add a little bit of top end to give it a little bit more brightness and sizzle, because this mic is not very bright. It's kind of a dull sounding mic. This mic sounds a little bit more like a dynamic mic than a condenser, actually. And at the very bottom, I'm rolling off everything below 80 hertz, because that would just be junk. There's not much in the human voice below that. So I pretty much always high pass everything below 80. And sometimes if your room is really muddy and boomy, you may have to even roll off 80 and 100. So you may have to tweak those, both of those settings, okay? But there is no one-size-fits-all setting for every voice. You know, you do have to use your ear. And every EQ is different. Every tool is different. I can tell you that the DBX has only two EQ knobs, and they're both for boosting. There's like a bottom-end bass knob for like warmth and a top-end knob for treble. And so it's very inflexible. There's not much you can do with EQ on there If you need to add brightness, it's very rare, especially the condenser mic. You actually oftentimes need to remove a little bit. Likewise, at the bottom end of the frequency spectrum on the DBX, there's an 80 Hz high pass filter. I almost always recommend having that switch on because it tightens up the sound a bit. So anyway, that was a crash course on EQ. It's a big topic. I've taught entire webinars on just this one topic, and I will, I'm sure, again in the future. So stay tuned for that. And if there's anything else I can help you with, please do send emails in to widdomsworld@edgestudio.com. And that's the email address to use if you would like to contribute to the show. If you would like your specific questions answered one-on-one by email or phone support or anything like that, jump over to vostudiotech.com, and there's service menu in there, and there's the get help menu, and there's multiple ways to get a hold of me and work with me one-on-one to solve your specific problems. So thanks for your time. I appreciate it, and I'll see you guys next week. So there you go. There's my little spiel. You know, there's a lot of things that you guys who are the regular viewers probably have heard about, but hopefully you picked up a little tidbit here and there about EQ.
Yeah. EQ is one of those things where you really have to understand it, but it's a subtle thing. It's not a big correction enhancement tool.
Yeah. I mean, it certainly does depend on the situation. Sometimes we'll use it for, it's usually used in a subtle way. But it can be used to correct a problem too. Right. Sometimes there's like a tone or a ring, or some kind of little thing that's just resonating, or a hum, and you can just figure out what that frequency is and notch it out of there. But it's use it subtly, and if you need help, that's what Dan and I are here for.
That's right.
We tweak these things all the time, and we know exactly what we're listening for.
Right, and it's never a big thing. Never a big thing. Yeah. Well, we got more coming up. And a few announcements here and there. And we don't want to lose any of you. Stick around. There's still fun in the chat room. And we've got George and I are going to talk a little shop, which I know is what you guys like to hear. So stay right where you are. We'll be right back after this.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
If you have studio problems, bring them here to EWABS. Let's get back to more problems with Dan Leonard and George Whittam.
I'm not exactly sure what I meant by that when I wrote that, but
I haven't run that one in a while, have I?
I haven't heard that one. Anyway, well, let's talk a little bit about my favorite subject, because this is something that I think it overwhelms a lot of us who are in the home studio consulting business, yeah, of which I can count on my hand maybe five people on God's green earth that actually know what they're talking about with home studios, because not a lot of people have actually worked with home studios. But anyway,
engineers, that is
the engineers, right?
Yeah.
The majority of problems that George and I encounter have to do with Windows. Because, yeah, we're going to talk about Mac versus PC here, but the problems generally are around Windows. Now, what inspired this is we have a mutual client and a mutual very close friend who called us both in a major panic about something. She was trying to get Skype to work with an Alpha Omega or whatever device that was that you had on there. And it stopped working, or she wasn't able to hear things back.
She wasn't getting playback or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, try this. We'll try this. Well, I'll try that. Then we find out she's using XP.
Right.
Now, XP, I think some of you have children that are younger than XP.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, I mean,
I know I do.
I know you do. Yeah. XP it's obsolete. It's gone. So the question becomes, do you upgrade to the next thing, or you don't because you're afraid of it? If you fear the software or any changes in your software, you really have to look at the OS that you're using. And it's one of the reasons I really like Mac. Now, there are little tiny tweaky problems going on with Mac right now. But if you're cognizant and you pay attention to what George had to say about Mavericks, you don't have a problem.
Yeah, whether you're on Mac or PC, you never install the absolute bleeding edge newest thing out there. Give it a little time.
Not just the post beta.
Right.
You know, I mean, right. you want them to get the bugs out. Right. But we find that Mac just works so much better with everything. You don't have as many choices in software, but that's probably a good thing because you can use Twisted Wave on there. And George and I love Twisted Wave. And we use Adobe Audition for
Mac. Involved stuff. When we
doing more involved processing and cleaning and things along those lines. On a PC, if you've got your PC well-tuned and up-to-date this week, you won't have as many problems. But a lot of you who are not perhaps as savvy with a computer, there's nothing to fear from a Mac, even the price tag, because they have not paid me a dime at Mac. Apple, I don't own Apple stock or any of that stuff, but I have stock in my business. And I have gone thoroughly Mac and have been for about 10 years. It just can't be beat. It just is. It works. And then you turn it on again the next morning and it works. And if there is a problem, it is not hard to solve. Whereas with a PC, as if you were watching the chat room at all, the discussion about how did Uncle Roy solve the problem? It had to do with an ASIO 4 driver. You don't have to deal with these things. If you love your PCs and you hate Macs, I want to talk to you and I want to do some therapy with you as to, so why do you hate the Macs so much? What is the excuse that people come up with? Oh, I don't like their marketing. Big deal. If it helps you out with what you're doing, if it is a better tool for your profession, I don't understand it.
I think my two cents is that people fear change. You're looking that way. I'll make it look like I'm looking at you. Here we go. Hey. There we go. I think people fear change, right? I stuck it out with Windows for a very long time, even though I was using a Mac in college in our recording studios. I was still using Windows. There was things I didn't like about the Mac at that time. And, what I figured out once I started working in Hollywood and working with a lot more voice actors here that were on Mac, I started starting to see what it was that was so easy and brilliant about the Mac operating system. Say what you want about the hardware. I tend to really love the Apple Mac Mini. I think it's an extremely reliable and just rock solid machine. We're both using them on our show right now as we speak. It's handling a lot of heavy lifting right now because we're streaming. You know, we're streaming live on Skype as well as streaming live on Ustream to all of you guys while we're recording, and we're using GarageBand to do audio processing. All that stuff on the same computer, and everything plays along with each other really, really well. I mean, everything seems to cooperate very nicely in the Mac operating system in general. The audio drivers that natively come on the Mac, it's called the Core Audio drivers. They're pretty bomb-proof. I mean, they are really rock solid, and they play well with other devices. So if you've got three or two different USB devices, or you're using two different programs to do audio and then Skype, everything tends to play along pretty well with each other. On the Windows side, you know, you'll be in Skype and then you'll launch Adobe Audition. All of a sudden, the audio in Skype goes crazy, you know, just conflicts and things like that. And it can be very frustrating. Yeah. Now, you can get the job done with either system. We've always talked about this. You can use either one to get the job done. But in my experience, the people on Windows, we spend more time trying to figure out Windows problems. And when I'm working with Mac people, we spend more time trying to figure out mic technique, acoustics, you know, other things. We're a little bit more productive with the time, you know.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of been my experience. And Dan and I both have used both systems for years. And I used Windows for many years until I went to Mac in 2006. And it's just been a far less trouble overall.
Right.
And there's still almost no viruses or malware that are out to get the Mac users yet. my theory is that Mac is not what runs the business world, right? The business world, corporate, government.
It's a PC world.
It's a PC world. It's Windows world. So if you are out there to attack somebody, if you're going to go through the process of writing a virus, if you're going to go, you know, if you want to wreak havoc, you're going to target Windows. So, you know, there's another reason why it's just, there's a lot less to worry about, a lot less to fix. You don't have to run a virus scanner that's taking away resources. I could go on and on.
Exactly.
But a Macs are not that expensive either. If you really do compare apples to apples.
Apples to PCs.
Apples to PCs. Like if you compare the chipset inside, say an iMac with a Mac with an i5 chip, you know, and a PC with an i5 chip, and compare the weights and the size of the computers, it is not that much more expensive to go Mac. And you can buy used Macs that maybe are 3-4 years old that have lots of life left in them.
I'm going to show you something here.
Please.
Try not to make you dizzy. It's got a lot of wires on it because I still use it. My Mac G4, my MacBook G4.
Oh, your PowerBook G4.
My PowerBook G4, which I use for Source Connect.
7-8 years old now.
Older than that.
Yeah.
I think I bought that in 2004. And it actually has a dent on it from when I dropped it when I was in Israel. So that was in 2006. So I've had this thing for a while, and it still runs.
And it still has a resale value. You could put that old PowerBook G4.
Even with the dent in it.
You could put that up on eBay now and probably get $250 for that thing. You know, and an 8-year-old Windows laptop would be a joke.
A doorstop, essentially.
Yeah. So
I mean, they're disposable. Macs aren't disposable. It's a Lexus versus a what's a crappy American made car. They're all made the same.
A Chrysler from the 80s?
From the 80s. Or a Buick from the 70s. Yeah, K car. There you go. That's the difference between them. I know there's lots of versatility to a PC and lots more programs.
Sure.
You got lots more choices to totally mess up your computer. But the bottom line with any computer is maintenance, updates, paying attention to what's going on.
What you're downloading.
You know, I have a program on here called Mac Keeper that just cleans things out, and I keep an eye on what's going on in my hard drive. I watch the activity monitor, all those sorts of things. Those are the things that keep your computer running. It's your lifeblood in the voiceover business. Yeah. So you might as well have something that you can rely on. And I would rely on a Mac.
Yeah.
And that's the name of that tune. Why am I slapping the desk so much tonight? Sure, why that is.
I like to put one more in there. Think of the Mac as just another utility. It's another tool to get your job done.
Right.
If you're a gamer, if you're a tweaker, go get a PC, build your PC, whatever. Do what you want. Have that PC for play time, fun time, tweak time, hacking time, whatever you like to do. But keep that Mac, you know, dedicated to work. Have a production system that you can really rely on. And, you know, if you really want to run Windows, install it on your Mac. Runs Windows beautifully. You can use Bootcamp. Sorry. You can use Bootcamp and install it, or you can use virtual machines. Like, there's one called VirtualBox. It's totally free, actually. And you can install Windows and just run it whenever you need it. So it's a very versatile machine.
Yeah.
In fact, I've seen reviews from Forbes magazine and a few others saying that the best Windows computer or best Windows laptop is a MacBook Pro. So there you have it.
I think
we've dug that one and smashed into the ground pretty deply. So
I know, but we'll talk about it again sometime.
Every few months, every 6 months, we'll remind everybody.
that we hate PCs. This is a Mac-based program you're watching.
We try our best to be neutral, but that's our thoughts.
Yeah. We do have a couple of announcements we want to throw your way. Mm-hmm. First off, George and I were talking the other day, and you know our logo, which we love, which is down here and behind us and right underneath George's chin there. We're thinking maybe it's time to update the logo. And we know you guys are a creative bunch because you've sent in stuff here before that is creative and fun and all that. We're challenging you, the EWABS listeners, to come up with a new logo. submit your logos, just, you know, come do whatever graphics program you want to use. If you're good at graphics, even do it in crayon. That might actually be fun. have your kids do it. All right. I got a project for you kids. We're having a logo contest. We're not exactly sure what first prize is going to be, but it's going to be something good because we have all sorts of stuff. Maybe we'll give you a choice. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Come up with a logo. You know, you can incorporate any medium you want. It can even be 3D. It can be anything. But it has to be a good professional logo for East West Audio Body Shop. Unless, of course, you really like the one we have, which we haven't really grown tired of. But change is good.
Yeah, exactly. I think we had an idea for a prize, actually, Dan.
Which one was that?
Letting people, plugging their services on the show for a month or two.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
That was one idea that we had.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe we could have a spot featuring that talent, or we could just talk about their services, show their website, play their demos, you know, something like that.
Could do that. All righty. Well, okay, so logo contest. When do we want to set a deadline for that? Like before the beginning of the year or?
Yeah, let's make the deadline the end of 2013.
Okay. So we'll announce the winner at our best of show.
Yeah, well, we're going to be doing the best of show the last Monday of the year. So the deadline for this would have to be right before that.
All right. So looking at Mr. Calendar, that would be December.
How about December 27th or 28th? That's a Friday.
That's my birthday.
Oh, it is.
It is.
Let's make Dan's birthday.
December 28th,
Dan's birthday will be the cutoff for the new logo idea. So if you guys got anything, email them in to ewabshop@gmail.com. And this will hopefully be some fun. We'd love to have your ideas for the logo.
I can't wait to see these. All right. What else we got going on? Oh, I've got a webinar coming up with VoiceOver Extra on December 10th.
All right.
I think it's December 10th. Let me just double check that. I'm pretty sure it's December 10th.
Don't give out the wrong date, man.
No, December 10th. Yeah. December 10th, 9 o'clock Eastern time, 6 o'clock out in the West.
What's it about?
We're going to do studio analysis. People are going to send in their audio like you and I do when they send it into my specimen collection cup or your Dropbox. And I'm going to analyze and let people listen in. Here's what I hear in this studio and here's how you can correct it. So, you know, and we'll solve some other studio problems with that. So that's on December 10th. Go over to voiceoverextra.com, one of our fine sponsors, and you can sign up for that and be there live. That's the only way to be. Cool. What else? Oh, yeah. Oh, these guys.
People have been clickers.
People have been buying these.
I got a batch ready to mail out tomorrow, actually.
That's right. The East West Audio Body Shop official clickers. Great for doing some editing work. When you make a mistake, just hit your clicker and $5 a piece. There's a link on our website to buy those.
You can't miss it. Right on the front page, ewabs.com.
Yeah, you really can. You did a good job updating that. That looks pretty good. So make sure you do that. And there's still time. You can still order stuff from the East West Audio Body Shop, although we're thinking about maybe some new stuff.
Yeah, I think for next year, we're going to come up with some new shop idea, a new shop.
Right. So if anybody has any ideas of stuff you think we should have as
new
swag,
logo and new shop.
And new shop. We'll do that because we ain't going anywhere.
That's right. We're sticking it out, buddies. Thanks to you guys, we're going to keep doing this.
Yeah. Okay. So we need to thank our donors, Eric Aragone, again. We love you, man.
Somebody just said, why buy the clickers when they're going to be changing the logos? That's all the better reason, Peter.
Now they become collector's items.
Right. These are limited editions.
Limited is only 250 of them. And you already have one. So
exactly.
Anyway.
Correct. Eric Aragone, always making donations. Thank you so much, Eric.
Yeah, and we've had a few other. We'll have to double check and see who those are. But if you know who you are, thank you.
No, we've had a couple people already buy clickers.
Yeah.
We've had Steve Tardio buy one. Thanks, Steve. Oh, actually, no, Steve made a donation beyond just a clicker. So we'll be sending you a clicker, too.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Steve. You're going to get one. Yvonne Schwemmer, she bought a clicker. Thank you. Suzanne, I think that's actually Suzanne Roberts. Yeah, Suzanne Roberts.
Who's in our chat.
She made a donation. You guys are wonderful. It's so nice of you to support the show like that. Really, we appreciate it. JS made a donation. Geez, nice donation there, JS. Thank you, guys. Very, very, very generous.
We most appreciate it.
Yeah.
So like us on Facebook. We're gonna have to meld all the Facebook pages. We're really starting to pile
social
up.
Network. We need to have a social network guru on the show, and then we need to hire said social network guru to help us rein it all in.
Oh, I know a couple of people who can do that.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And so like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at @EWABS_show, and subscribe to us on YouTube and like our videos.
Please do. Click the little thumb.
Couple of thing there.
What do you think of the new commenting in YouTube? Do you care? Does it matter to you? The fact that it's Google Plus? I think that's pretty awesome. Personally.
Yeah, it seems to make things a lot more accessible. So
yeah, when you comment something on YouTube, now it goes back to Google Plus and it keeps the conversation going, and it makes people, when they do comment on a video on YouTube, it makes them be real people. Like, you could just make a crap YouTube, you know, account, and you could say any nasty thing you wanted to anybody on YouTube before. So I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing.
Absolutely.
All right.
Let's see. Okay, so okay, what else we got here? Oh, what's coming
round table?
Up? We've got next week, November 20th. Is that next week?
Yeah, the 25th. Audio Masters Round Table. I know, November. It's like burning away right underneath our feet.
Right. So we've got an Audio Masters Round Table. You do not want to miss that. Uncle Roy will be here, and Cliff Zellman, and I do believe we have a guest. Juan Carlos Bagnell will be with us.
Yeah, that's right. Juan's going to do it.
That's right. So we're going to, this could be, you want tech stuff, you're going to get it next week, and we're going to have a great talk. Let's see. December 2nd, we have our interview with Wes Dooley, which you do not want to miss. We've got such quality program. You could watch PBS or you could watch us and actually learn something. And you'll learn something from Wes Dooley, too, who's the president of AEA Microphones and a fascinating guy and a fun guy. And we're doing a highlight show at the end of the year. Definitely some stuff from tonight's going to make it in there. Joe doing that thing in the studio was a definite highlight.
Yeah.
Anything else, Mimi the Pig and various other moments. If there is a favorite moment, go watch it back on YouTube. Find whoever the guest was and look for that show and get the timing down of when that moment occurs and send it to us at ewabshop@gmail.com.
Actually, don't email it to me. I'm going to.
Oh, it's, we've got form. It on the website. We've got
go to
a
the,
form
website,
on the website.
Scroll right. down the front page. You'll see a form waiting for you. Just plug in the information, start time, end time, episode number, and the description of what it is. And then I'll be able to cut it all together when I'm back east for the holidays. And I'm looking forward to it. I love seeing what you guys come up with, and then putting it together is just a blast.
Yeah, the last show was a riot, you know, so we had a great time with that one.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's thank our sponsors. Of course, Harlan Hogan and the VO1A microphone.
That's right.
Do not want to lose that. This is going to be here for a little while.
Thanks to VO Studio Tech and Edge Studio, together at last. Now we're just working on the details. We'll eventually all be on one web page. That'll be nice.
Like U.S. Air and American Airlines.
Yeah, right.
Let's see what happens there. And, of course, VoiceOver Extra and all the great stuff that they have over there. So go read that every day, because you can't avoid it if it's in your mailbox. So I got to read it. Always good articles in there. And, of course, thank our wives who put up with us every week, although, again, they enjoy Monday night much more.
That's right.
And of course, Anthony Gettig for... Take a bow, Anthony, for monitoring the chat room. Jason Lawson, hope you're feeling better, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And Lee Penny for production assistance. And that's going to wrap it up into a nice tight little ball tonight. If that wasn't enough, that thing with Joe, that was
gold.
That was absolute gold and no technical glitches.
No, that went great. That was a lot of fun.
It was. That was a lot of fun. Well, I hear your tea kettle.
Yeah, but I go get my tea now.
And that's going to do it for us this November 18th, 2013. And you were there. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Have yourself a good night, everybody, and a great week.
See you next week.